All right, stick with me. We're going to get into the Word of God now. Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Nehemiah. If you're able, would like to invite you to stand as I read God's Word. I see zero clock in here, so that'll be that. Nehemiah chapter 8, I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. I'm going to save you and save myself the pronunciation of words in verses 4 and 5, and I'll pick back up there in verse 6. Verses 1 through 3 of Nehemiah chapter 8. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man unto the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Verse 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. For at the end of verse 7, the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. And we'll stop there and look to our Lord once again in a word of prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your love to us, your mercy, your grace, and your watch care over us. We are exceedingly thankful tonight to be able to be in the house of the Lord. And what a joy it has been already to hear the singing of the congregation and the special songs and the two messages, Lord, that have been brought already. I pray, Father, that they would be effectual in our lives. I thank you for Brother Duke and his wife and the dear members of Olmsted Baptist Church and their labor of love that they have already shown in putting together this conference and being so good to us. And Father, I ask that if there are any here tonight that are lost and undone and know you not as Savior, that this would be the day of salvation, that they would come to know you in the full pardon and forgiveness of sin. And Lord, I ask that you would be with me tonight as thy servant, and may you give me liberty and ability to present thy word in truth and in love. We ask, Father, that you forgive us of our sins, and these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The first message that I preached down at Berea a couple weeks ago, as Brother Sitters was making his list and then having to write down what I preached, I think it was the longest titled message I've ever done. I got a two-word title tonight, brother. For him, he had to write enthusiastic encouragement for one another. That's what he had to write. Tonight, I want to preach to you on the subject of spiritual revival. Spiritual revival. And when you're reading Nehemiah chapter 8, you start getting into the emotion of Nehemiah chapter 8, right? You start thinking about the years that it had been since they heard the reading of the law. You see how they stood. You see where they were commanded to go and they were to give that which they have received. And yes, this is not called a revival service, but we ought to be revived as God's people. We need a spiritual revival among God's people. It doesn't have to be called a revival service for us to be revived. And what's going to happen is tonight you're going to go back, you're going to get in your cars, you're going to realize that it's a little later than you wanted it to be, and you're going to think, boy, what a night we had. And you're going to remember little bits and pieces of little bits and things that happened, a little bit here and a little bit there, and you're going to be stirred up for just a moment. You're going to go home, go to bed, come back the next day, and maybe have forgotten already what we have learned. And not applying it to our lives. These folks truly held on to the Word. We just heard about how important it is to preach the Word. You will be convicted, no doubt, throughout the entirety of this weekend, if you have not been already. I thoroughly enjoyed hearing about Paul's heart for the gospel, for souls. It stirred my soul. I stand behind the pulpit at Grace Baptist Church week after week, and I think to myself, I preach to you that we ought to be convicted. And shame on me for not being convicted enough. I'll preach to you throughout the duration of the rest of this message with 5 points tonight. We'll make it through, I promise. And yet, did it stir me as it should have? And I think it could be easily said that it would be fantastic to see homes revived, because truly revival must start in our homes. I mean, that's the first institution God made. He established it in our home. And we have to lead our homes. We have to revive our homes. We have to get excited about God in our homes. As we get excited about God in our homes, we go out into our communities. And we get excited about God in our communities. And we come and we bring that into the house of the Lord. And we enthusiastically encourage one another. There, I got it in, brother. I got it in. Revival. To be alive. Oh, it's a great day to be alive, is it not? I'm thankful to be alive. Are you? Thankful to be alive. Paul wept, as we saw, over sin and over sinners. Have we wept? Again, I think it could be easily said tonight that we've come in this hope and we've come in this anticipation that we like to see revival in our churches. We like to see revival in our communities. And we like to see revival around our country. And again, I think it could be easily said that we would like to see these things. But here's the thing of what I just mentioned. It's easier said than done. It's easy for me to come to you at this time and this hour of the night and tell you we need revival. And give you some tactical and practical ways in which it's laid out to us here in Nehemiah chapter 8. But then what happens? Life. We get all jazzed up. We get all encouraged. And we don't weep for our country, our friends, our family, our neighbors, our loved ones. What happens is that we get busy with life. Guilty as charged. We get busy with work and school and activities, and the list goes on and on. And we ask, have our hearts truly been touched? Now here they were in Nehemiah's day. And again, we've already covered the fact of all, I didn't cover all of the fact of the emotion that was going on when the words of the law were read once again, but those of you that have been around the Word of God or been around the teaching of the Word of God for any time, you understand how long it's been since they heard this. And so as I'm reading it, you're starting to get that sense. But beloved, we're here tonight. And back in Nehemiah's day, again, they got back into the presence of God and they got back into the Word of God. And so I'm going to give you 5 steps to spiritual revival. 5. First, they read the Bible, and I'll say them again as I go through. Second, they recognized the importance. We've heard about the importance of the Word already tonight. Number 3, the truth was explained. Praise God for those that explain the truth. Number 4, they responded. Listen, they responded in obedience. And number 5, watch, I love this one, right? You know I do. They rediscovered some joy. Amen. It's okay, Baptist. We can have joy. It's good. I promise. It's okay. So we got 5 things, practical applications from the Word of God tonight to have spiritual revival. Number 1, they read the Bible. See, I told you I'd give it to you again. You're welcome. They read the Bible. Let's go back. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1. And all the people gathered themselves together as the men into the street. That was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. You see, they gathered together as one man. That is, they were what? United. Amen. Yeah. As Brother Jim mentioned, we didn't come here to grind axes. We came here to be a blessing and encouragement to Olmsted Baptist Church. Amen. And if you're visiting and you get a blessing too, praise God. But I was asked to come and preach to Olmsted. And they came together and they were united. You see, beloved, we don't need to go any further. They were united together around God's Word. We need to be united. This gathering of Nehemiah was a biblical restoration where the truth of God's Word was read. And reading God's Word is not boring. Reading God's Word is good. And so, beloved, that encouragement that I wish to give to you tonight, again, if we desire to have true spiritual revival, is that we get in the Word, we read the Bible. And so, you see, if God's people with one mind gather around God's Word to seek His will and His will alone, I believe that God would be pleased to send revival and that they are able to experience revival. If you would please turn over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 3 through 8. Now, at one point tonight, I asked Brother Jim, he told me I'd be preaching third, knowing I'm on Eastern time. And I said, Brother, you did that probably in hopes that I'd be a little calmer. He said, no, brother, you just preach. I said, okay, this is what you get. Yeah, okay. Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 3 through 8. It says, endeavoring, that is an action word. That is a challenging word. That is a word that says, you've got to do something. Sovereign Grace Landmark Missionary Baptist, God tells us, we've got to do this. We've got to put some effort into what I'm about to continue to read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. Endeavoring, that is an action word, to keep what? The unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You and I, and members here at Olmsted Baptist Church, you've got to put a conscientious effort into endeavoring, that is, to keep the unity of the Spirit, is exactly what they did in Nehemiah chapter 8, as they gathered themselves together as one man unto the street. And we do this, and we should, with the bond of peace, as the Bible is read. So we are gathered here tonight, and I am reading the Word of God, but I ask, are we really seeking God's will? I ask you, and I'm not trying to be coy, and I'm not trying to be arrogant when I ask you these questions, but I ask tonight, what are you thinking about?
Right.
What is going through your mind right now? It could be, when is he going to stop? I mean, it could be all kinds of things. But do you really want revival? Do you really want to see God's power? What is going through your mind? Is it to read the Bible and to be in unity with the people of God? Or is it division? You see, back here in Nehemiah's day, as I said, they recognized and realized the importance of gathering around God's Word as one people. And when you do come, and I trust that the members here come faithfully to every service, I ask you the question tonight, and I ask myself the question that when I assemble with Grace Baptist Church in Mount Vernon, Ohio, and I've asked our people this question, and I will ask all of you now, as we come here, even for the rest of the Bible conference, do you come with the spirit of joy and longing for the understanding of God's Word? Or do you come with the spirit of, I knew he would say that wrong. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. And so-and-so wasn't here to hear it. What are you thinking about? They read the Word. That's where their concern was. If we desire to see spiritual revival, let's get in the Word.
Amen.
They read the Bible. Now watch this. Verse 3. You probably knew I would get there in this section. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday. That's a good reading. Paul and Silas were in prison until midnight. Then they started singing praises. So we've got some time. We got some time. All right, and he read there, and he read therein before the street, that was before the water gate, from the beginning until midday, before the men and the women and all those that could understand. That is, that all the people that were there. They didn't shun anybody, they just read. Now watch. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. That's why I asked you a few moments ago, what are you thinking about? Where is your mind? Is it upon the things of the Lord? As he read therein before the street, that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday. That's more than just a few minutes. You understand that, don't you? Just basic reading of the English language tells us that. And they were attentive. It's a beautiful thing. They were attentive to the words. They listened. They listened. You don't hear that cry today very often. You don't hear that. But it's being here in the book, you know. It, bring out the Bible. We don't need to bring out the iPhone and our iPads, or we don't need to be bringing out the new book from Dr. Phil. But people need to cry out and bring the precious Word of God. People are going to ask you, what did you do this weekend? Oh, I attended a Bible conference. Oh, joy. I should have been there. But what if you would have went to your favorite sporting team? Yeah, man, I went to cheer on the Cleveland Cavaliers. It was great. I went to cheer on the Buckeyes. You should have seen it down in the fourth quarter. I mean, it was like, wow. We have a lot more excitement for those things. I'm not criticizing. I'm there, folks. These messages are for me. Yeah, I was at Olmsted all weekend. Where's Olmsted? In the hills of Kentucky, I can tell you that. We made a wrong turn because I didn't follow the GPS. So when I say we, I mean me. And it was like, there's like two white lines. It looks like it's a one-lane road, but I don't think that it is. And I'm going down the road. Now, my son, he does a good job. He says, just follow the blue line. Like, right? Just follow the blue line on your GPS. You'll be okay. I'm telling you, there was a turn that came up. Woo-hoo-hoo! I mean, that's what it did. And we slowed down. But then I said I was going to be here by 10 after 5, and so I sped up and got here at 5:08, which is really 6:08. But who's counting? All right. Where was I going? That wasn't in the notes. Yeah, I was talking about an iPhone. I was actually thankful for the iPhone to get us here. Okay, anyway. People don't pick up the very book they need. You see, if you truly desire revival, get in the book. Oh, that's what I was talking about. Getting excited about being at the Bible conference. That's what I was talking about. We get excited about so many things in the world. Read the Bible, get excited about the Bible, and tell people that you were truly blessed in Olmsted, Kentucky, at Olmsted Baptist Church. I ask you, as we talk about spiritual revival, remember I said it starts in the home. I remember I said that already. And so I ask you the question tonight. Do you bring out the Bible in your home when there's a decision to be made? What's the first thing that you do? Most of us, bling, hello, help. Amen? Right? I'm not trying. I realize I'm using a little bit of humor, but we've got to get in the Word if we want to be spiritually revived. We go everywhere else first before we go to the Bible. And again, I'm preaching to myself. Verse 6. So they were attentive. And it says in verse 6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Man, I'm telling you, that is spiritual revival. We're Baptists. We can't get that emotional. We can't do those things. Why not? Why not? I mean, I say why not, and it's awkward for me if I were to do that in my own church. I know it would be awkward for me because we've made it so uncomfortable to get that revived in the Lord. He blessed the Lord, the great God, the God of our salvation, and all the people answered, amen, amen. They were excited, and they lifted up their hands. And they bowed their heads and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They read the word. They heard it and they were thankful. And it blessed them. And it caused them to worship God. And I ask every one of us, again, that simple question. Do we really read our Bibles? That's the first thing with spiritual revival. Number two, they recognized its importance. And I think that's important. In verse 8, it says, so they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. They recognize the importance. You see, beloved, if you and I, if we're truly seeking revival and for God to work in our lives, we need to recognize that God's word is important. It's already been preached, it's already been stated. It's what we need. It's what we need. The first thing that he read was God's word. That's what he did. He read God's word. Appreciated, Brother Myrna, as he spoke, and he said that there's some scripture read in between singing. On our Sunday afternoon service, I take time and I just read for about 12 minutes, just God's word without any commentary, without anything else. I just read God's word. Sunday morning, we have a different man in our church, and they just read a chapter of God's word before anything is preached, before anything is said. The importance of God's word as we're seeking revival. I then, certainly, as the pastor, have a responsibility, and our Bible teachers, and each and every one of us, but as I stand behind the pulpit, have a responsibility to explain and to teach God's word. That's what I've been called to do. And to help you recognize the importance that the Word of God has on your life. We need to understand and we need to realize that God's Word is what is important. I know it's been said. It's the Word of God that teaches us how to care for our families. It's the Word of God that teaches us how we are to work, how we are to interact with others, how we are to behave in the house of the Lord. It is God's Word that teaches us how to live and how to act and how to be holy and all of those things. And so the second thing in spiritual revival, they read the Bible. And number two, they recognize the importance. Now, don't get excited. Number two was one of my shortest points. Okay. Number three, the truth was explained. Again, for years, they have been in captivity in Babylon. Babylon. Sinful, wicked, awful Babylon. And they had learned things in Babylon that caused them to not understand God's word. And they even had to learn, and they even learned another language. And they're speaking Aramaic. So they didn't even know the language that the Bible was being read in. Now they recognized the readings. They recognized that they were Jews from birth, but they had lost their tongue. They'd lost their culture. They had come out of Babylon. But they're back. They're back in Jerusalem. And their mentality and their lifestyle, while it was worldly when they heard God's word, at first they didn't even recognize it because their ears were Babylonish. That's what happens when we step back into the world, isn't it?
Amen.
So what happens when we start listening to the counsel of others, that now all of a sudden God's word just doesn't sound the same. God's word hasn't changed.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And so, here again in this portion here that I'm talking about, this part of spiritual revival, this number three, about the truth being explained, you see, there was a communication breakdown. And some of us might find it hard, you know, to get into God's word again because it's been so long since we've been in it. Because our lives have been embedded by things that are in total contrast with God's law, commands, rules, and principles. You see, they heard. They understood. Or they were explained to come to understand through the powerful preaching of God's servants. And then I'll get to number four here in a moment, how they responded in obedience. Beloved, I think we spend much of our time occupying our minds with unanswerable questions and contradictory issues. Man, just babble, just stuff that just bogs us down and just...
Amen.
Takes us away from the pure, beautiful words of God.
Amen.
Well, but Read it and enjoy it. It's God's Word. Okay? All right. So we don't have to just stop getting so bogged down with the unanswerable questions. And maybe, you know, I'm not a deep theologian and I know that, but I try not to get so bogged down in that I can't just enjoy what is clear and plain within God's Word and God's truth.
Amen.
I got to tell you, there is, there's a lot of topics being discussed right now among our brethren. But I have an idea. Let's get back to the Bible.
Amen.
Amen.
That's as strong as my idea is. If we want true revival in our churches and across this land, get in the Word. Okay? So, the truth was explained to them. Number four, only two more. They responded in obedience. I love this because that's what I remember. I said this in the introduction. I told you we'd come back to it. So they read the Word. Remember, that's important, right? They read the Bible. They recognized its importance. The truth was explained and they responded in obedience. Verses 9 and 10. And Nehemiah, which is the Tishrah, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God, mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send the portions unto them, for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. They responded in obedience. Now they did weep and they cried. They knew of the condition they were in and where they had come from. They knew they were the ones being spoken of. They had committed these sins and they were guilty in the eyes of God. And I tell you, when we hear messages like this, and I've already laid this down a little bit, we just don't see it, but people are afraid. They're afraid of being judged and criticized and mocked. And beloved, that's our fault for judging people that way. That we have made people feel so ashamed if they come forward, not altar calling or anything, and just confessing. We just made them feel awkward. Shame on us. They did mourn and they did weep. And so I ask all of us again tonight, are you longing to be revived, to live a life that is committed to the Word of God? Do you desire to see your life changed and the lives of people around you change? And again, I encourage all of us to get in the Word. Get in the Word. And if it convicts and it breaks you, praise be to God.
Amen.
Praise God. May we weep over these things. When is the last time you and I wept as we read God's Word and applied it to our hearts?
Amen.
When was it? Has it ever been? I mean, when the Lord saved us, sure. They read it, they recognized the meaning, and they responded in obedience. And they got excited about these truths that they had once known, and they wanted to understand more, and they desired more. And we read that on the second day. Look at, the second day, that's going to be tomorrow. You're going to come back a second day. And on the second day, we're gathered together, the children, or the chief of the fathers, verse 13, excuse me. So we're in Nehemiah 8:13. And on the second day, we're gathered together, the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. They came back, they wanted more. They wanted more. How exciting that is. And what did they discover? And verse 14, and they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded by Moses that the children of Israel should dwell in the booths in the feast of the seventh month. Man, I tell you what, they got into the Word and the Word of God got in them. And that's what I need. That's what my family needs. That's what our church needs. That's what this church needs. And that's what this nation needs, is for people to be in the Word.
Amen.
The discovery was simple. It was something they had celebrated for years. It was something called the Feast of the Tabernacles. But since the days of Joshua, the conquest of the Promised Land, since those days, one particular feature of the Feast of the Feast of the Tabernacle, had not been obeyed. So many people today are unwilling to change. Now, it's God that makes a change. You and I know that. We've been around Sovereign Grace Landmark Missionary Baptist long enough. We know God makes a change. But I tell you, we just don't go away convicted. What a day it would be if we would just simply do what God tells us to do. Amen. In the New Testament, it is referred to as our reasonable service.
Amen.
Just doing that which God has told us to do. What a day indeed if God's people would simply obey His Word. And you'll find in God's Word, watch this, God doesn't ask us for our opinion, does He?
That's right.
He doesn't ask us for our opinion. It's not asked for. Your opinion, it doesn't... All God desires from us is our obedience. And then fifthly and finally, I can't hardly preach a message without talking to you about some joy. I enjoy joy. I tell you, that song Rejoice Tonight, now, praise God. What a beautiful song. What wonderful congregational singing, as I said, and fellowshipping and worshiping around the Word of God. they rediscover joy. I just gotta imagine there was some singing going on. Now, I like to sing. And I don't have a lick of musical talent in me. Alright? And so Brother Joe's heard some of this story. Brother Jim, you have not yet, but I figured this a great way. If I'm going to talk about joy, I'm just going to talk about it now. Now, my oldest daughter, Dinah, she plays the piano for us at church, and she plays the piano for me when I sing. And praise be to her blessed, wonderful heart, she speeds up and slows down for me as my little heart desires. She doesn't have to try to, I mean, she wants to try to play it the way it's written, but when I'm singing, that doesn't matter. I mean, it should. I mean, music and order is good, but I'm not good. The people are always saying, Brother Justin, can you sing? And so that happened at Berea. Where's he at? Hi, how you doing? All right, yeah, hi. And so Dino, as I said, she wasn't able to be there. And so Sister Sharon was there. I got two parts of this story. It's joy. It's joy, I promise. And Sister Sharon has been playing the piano for such a long time, and she agreed to play for me. How long has it been? And I warned her, and I warned the church that I am who I am. And I do enjoy singing, though. And so we get done, and afterwards, she played beautifully, by the way. And she was following me and everything. And she did tell me, though, she said, if you would have just stepped a little bit forward, I could have seen your mouth a little bit better. Which basically means you weren't following, but I was doing everything I could. Now, that's funny, but not as great as what's about to come. So on the last day, and tomorrow you're going to get a little bit of this. So anyway, there's joy. There's joy in the God's people, all right? And there's joy in singing. There's joy in fellowship. Joy in rejoicing. There's joy in all of these things. And so I asked Brother Joe and Brother Duke if they would sing a song with me, and it was How Great Thou Art. Now, the rest of you Olmstonians, you didn't get to hear this. This was on Sunday afternoon. Sister Clarissa did. And so here's how this goes. I was going to be preaching on that subject of How Great Thou Art, and so I wanted to sing it. I asked these two brethren to come with me. They graciously agree. And we get up there, and Brother Joe says, you want me to try to find the harmony? Sure. Have fun. Brother Jim, as you know, he has a very high voice, so that went really well. Oh, he doesn't. Okay. So he has a very low voice. He's standing on one side of me. Brother Joe's standing on the other side. Brother Joe just wants to harmonize. That's all he wants to do. He just wants to harmonize. Cool. So I start off, and I'm telling the story at my church. Now, Dinah's already laughing because she's heard the story. So I'm telling the story at my church, okay? Now, joy. I'm telling you, joy. And so I'm telling this, and I said, and here's how it went. Verse 1, they're both looking at me, and I'm smiling at them. And they're smiling back at me. They know I'm slow. It's fine. We're just going through it. It's okay. By verse 2, Brother Joe says to himself, he thinks to himself, I know Brother Justin's pace now. I got this. I get to verse 3, and Dinah said, before I could say it in the church, now she didn't say it out loud, I could see her whispering somebody in the pew, she said, he sped up. And I did! And so later on, Brother Joe, you know, again, we talked about this, and he said, Brother, I don't know what happened. He said, I thought I was going to get it, but you sped up. I don't know. I don't know who I am. That's just what I do. Dinah says, you do it in every single song. Daniel, my son, he leads the singing there, and she said, I don't know if you're trying to make up for lost time and feel like you were slow at first. She said, I don't know what you do. Instinctively. So we're going to sing tomorrow. Where's my group for tomorrow? Have fun. Here we go. We're going to do it again. I'm telling you what, we can have joy, okay? We can. And these people, in Nehemiah's time here, they had lost touch again with God. Maybe they had thought that God left him. Of course, he never leaves his people. The fact of the matter is, they had turned from God. They were concerned with Babylon and all of those things. And yes, they were weeping over the sins that they committed. And then they were taught, yes, they weep for the sins, but then they learned that they can receive joy in the forgiveness of sin. Amen. There is joy. There is joy. And beloved, there is nothing like restored fellowship with God. We go from tears of sorrow to tears of joy. David says, restore unto me the what? The joy of my salvation. I mean, and there's so many verses. 1 John 1:8-9. 1 John 2:15-17. Joy. Joy. But I'm going to take you over to Psalm 84, and we're going to draw her to a close here very soon. Now, I didn't say right this second. I said soon. Psalm 84, got to read this to you here, verses 5 through 8 of Psalm chapter 84. Psalm 84, and verses 5 through 8. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are thy ways of them. Who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. And it says, O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. And so, no matter what, even as we're passing, listen, they passed through the valley. Amen. They passed through that place of Baca. And they made it through to the other side. And they rejoice and they had joy in the things of the Lord. We find ourselves too often times, I believe, beloved, complaining when we have to drive through a little rain or a little snow or whatever it may be. We find ourselves oftentimes murmuring. Because I think we have, if we're honest with ourselves, again, this is spiritual revival. We got to be honest with ourselves. I think if we're honest with ourselves, I think we have lost some of the joy of assembling together like they did here in Nehemiah's day. I'm excited to be here. I really am. And the songs, they grow sweeter and the praise is richer and so close and it's so beautiful. And so, beloved, you and I know that it is God that sends revival. And I'm not trying to make it sound like it's a five-step program. God can send revival. I mean, God is able to send revival this moment because He is God. But for me, I like to try to think through some things and apply it. So they read the Bible, they recognized the importance, the truth was explained, they responded in obedience, and they rediscovered joy. I thank you so much for your attention to the Word of God. May God truly send revival, Brother Jim.